Could you please take your Bible or your electronic device that has the Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. But before we do that, let's just bow our heads and hearts in a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, we know that your word is alive and powerful, and it's profitable for helping us to wise up, shape up, straighten up, and grow up. As we look into your word this hour, and as we look into your word in the Sunday school classes, please help us to listen up and hear what you have to say to us. We offer up our thanks in that precious and matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that you have elevated above all other names. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll read the first 10 verses. I'm reading from the New International Version. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of this portion of his word. Hearing God. There is a difference between hearing and listening. I have hearing aids, and I can tell you about it. There were two old men that met for coffee, and one said, "I've just got new hearing aids, state-of-the-art technology. Greatest thing since sliced bread." The other said, "What kind is it?" He looked at his watch and he said, 12:30. Hearing impaired. As a little boy, when I was down on the farm, I would sometimes hear my mom calling me. But when she called me with my full name, "Kenneth!" I knew I'd done something wrong. When she managed to get me alone, my eyes would dart everywhere but her face. She would shake me and say, "Are you listening to me?" I was listening impaired. Hearing and listening. God spoke in the past. Most of us would acknowledge that God did speak in the past. And we've had examples where he spoke audibly to people in the past. Think of Abraham. Genesis 22, when he was prepared to offer his son Isaac, God audibly intervened. Think of Samuel, the case we just read. Think of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, where he actually heard God's whisper. Then there's dreams. God spoke in the past in dreams. Think of Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. He dreamt about that ladder that reached from earth to heaven, and angels going up and down that ladder. Think of Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 3. He had a dream as well. In his dream, God was pleased with Solomon's request for wisdom and granted him much more. Then we have visions. God spoke in the past in a number of cases in visions. The picture there is a representation of Daniel's vision. Peter had a vision. Remember that sheet that was let down from heaven? All kinds of animals in it. Paul had a couple of different visions. At his conversion, he had a vision of Ananias coming in and laying his hands on him. And later, he had a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." Take your Bible and please turn to Hebrews chapter 1. The first two verses, a lot of you could quote this by heart. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. Spoke in times past to the prophets, and then through his Son. John the Baptist's testimony of Jesus was this, in John 3:34, "For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit." Jesus' own testimony was this, "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." And later in John chapter 12, Jesus said, "For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." And then God spoke audibly about Jesus at the Transfiguration. While Peter was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him. Listen to me. Yes, God spoke in the past, but does he speak today? Some people who haven't yet put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ think that God only speaks audibly. There's a story told, it was probably a made-up story, but a good one, about a young lady who went ice fishing one day. She started to drill a hole, and a booming voice sounded at her, "There's no fish down there." So she moved 50 feet and started to drill another one. And again, a booming voice came, "There are no fish down there either." She said, "God? Is that you?" And then the voice again came, "This is the arena manager. There are no fish down there." But some people have the idea that God only speaks audibly. In fact, he speaks in many different ways. Job in Job 33 said, "For God does speak, now one way, now another, though man may not perceive it." Jesus in John 10 talked about his followers. He said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Turn, please, to John chapter 14, verse 26. Jesus is talking. He said, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." One of the functions of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, is to remind us of things Jesus has said. Question is, are we listening? There's something a little odd about the fact that the words listen and silent have the same letters, but they're different in the order. I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think that's a coincidence at all. God in his sovereign will can choose to speak to us audibly today through visions or dreams, but there are other methods that he uses usually. And sometimes we find out later that it was God speaking to us. God speaks today through his word primarily. And as most of us know, the Bible isn't a book to inform or a book to give tips on how to live life. It's a book to transform, to change from the inside out. Hebrews 4:12, and a verse that I memorized as a child, it's a powerful voice. For the word of God is active and alive, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and intents, attitudes of the heart. Turn with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible points us to Jesus first and foremost, as is mentioned in that verse. Yes, the Old Testament may foreshadow and foretell about him. The New Testament may give us facts about his coming, his life, his teachings, his death, his resurrection. But this book is different. It's God-breathed. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter writes, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origins in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." That book is God-breathed. It's reliable. There's eyewitness accounts of all of the things that had happened. And the guide that the Bible gives us helps us to follow God. There's a verse in Psalm 119 that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Think about the Bible and its ability to change both what we believe and how we behave. And it's a springboard for our spiritual walk. God speaks through the Bible and makes it come alive. Have you ever had that occasion when you're reading the Bible or had it read to you and a verse suddenly just pops out and hits you as though it was meant for you at that moment? Have you had a thought or a picture from reading the Bible that stays with you and you meditate and think about that as you're lying on your bed at night before you go to sleep? Yes, God speaks to us through the Bible. Believe it or not, he also speaks to us through prayer. Think back to the book of Luke, where in the life of Jesus, prayer was so important. He'd often withdraw to a lonely place. He sometimes prayed all night. Prayer is more than just talking to God. It's a conversation with God, and that means there are times when I am silent and he's talking, trying to tell me something. Ephesians 6:18 says, "Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17, this is a tough one. It says, pray continually. Pray continually. Wow. God also speaks through discipline. There's an example in Galatians chapter 2 where Paul chided Peter. There was a discipline involved. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 to 6, the writer to the Hebrews says, "And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son." And the encouragement from 1 John 1:9, that God forgives us confessed sin, but sometimes he allows us to experience the consequences of our sin. I ran across a quote the other day from C.S. Lewis in his book, The Problem of Pain, that says it very well. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. In my mind, I see my mom shaking me. Are you listening? Are you listening? God also speaks through other people. The example in your note gives Acts 15, where the council at Jerusalem was a means where God spoke through those to other believers. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "And we also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." The apostle's word was God's way of communicating and speaking to people. Turn with me, please, to Colossians chapter 3. Verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Notice that? Teaching and admonishing one another. God sometimes speaks through other people to us. And how do I take that? Do I take it humbly? Thankfully? Or do I just say, well, you're entitled to your opinion? If it's God speaking through them, it's important that I listen. And sometimes that's original, but sometimes it's a way of confirming what God has already said to us in other ways. I can think back in my own life where I had come to the point I wanted to join a missions trip to Japan in 1970. Someone, an elderly brother in the assembly, said to me, "Ken, I think you should go." To me, that was confirmation of what God had placed in my heart in terms of an action, speaking through other people. But we need to be wary of those who claim to be speaking for God. I can think of a number of individuals I know who would say to me, "I have a message from God for you." But that message isn't consistent with the written word of God. It doesn't jibe. It doesn't fit. And I basically just hear them out, but I'm not convinced that it's actually God speaking through them. Let me give you a real live story of God speaking through believers. Decades ago, there's a young man in Ottawa by the name of Alan Sharp. And to be honest, it would be nice to have him here and tell his story. The details would be precise and accurate. Alan Sharp was a single man who lived in Ottawa. He often went down to the Byward area with his buddies to drink. They'd often bump into a young man by the name of Bruce Langevin, who handed out tracts and talked to people about the Lord, about Jesus. You couldn't take offense to Bruce as a person, but you might take offense to his message. Alan and his buddies ridiculed Bruce, but they kept bumping into this guy. Turned out Alan had some holidays coming, so he went to Europe. He traveled quite a bit of Europe, stayed at hostels, did all the tourist things, but he kept bumping into Christians who talked to him about the Lord. Alan realized he wasn't getting away from these guys, so he went to Morocco, a Muslim country. And he was walking downtown one day, and he bumped into a Christian who talked to him about the Lord. At this point, Alan was pretty well fed up. He went back to Paris. He got on an Air France flight, took him home to Mirabel Airport in Quebec. The air hostess was a Christian who talked to him about the Lord. Alan knew this wasn't a collusion amongst Christians. No two of those people knew each other. It was God speaking to him. He arrived home in Ottawa, and he and his buddies went down to the Byward Market area again to drink and bumped into Bruce. A few weeks later, Bruce led him to the Lord, and he put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God speaks through individuals sometimes. Are we listening? God speaks generally. There are principles in God's word. Let me tell you a story. It was a cold winter Sunday morning in a little country church. The pastor had stoked the fire in the fireplace and set everything up for the congregation, but only one person showed up, an old retired farmer. The pastor went through the motions anyway. He conducted the singing, the offertory, the Bible reading, gave a rousing Bible message, all for a congregation of one. Afterwards, he went back to the door and made the mistake of asking this fellow what he thought of the sermon. Farmer said, "Well, if I went out to feed the cows and only one showed up, I sure wouldn't have given her the whole load of hay." But there are some principles in Scripture that we need to take to heart. And going through a few of them quickly, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength." That's everything. Love God with everything. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love each other as I have loved you. And then even love your enemies. That's a tough one. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So when God speaks generally, do we listen? Do we submit? Do we obey? Or do we pick out what we really want to pay attention to? Do we have ears to hear? God speaks specifically to you as individuals today. First of all, have you heard his invitation to you as an individual? Come unto me, all you are labored. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. Have you, as an individual, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. This was read in our earlier service. Verse 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. Not by works so that no one can boast. A lot of people have lived their life on the basis of trying to please God, doing rather than being. Have you personally put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ that his work is done, nothing to do? It's a gift he offers, salvation. It's grace. It's all about grace. The unmerited favor of God. Uncaused love, unmerited favor. It's grace. Have you put your faith and trust in him personally and made a commitment to him as Lord and Savior? Let me give you a personal illustration of trust and throwing yourself entirely on God. When we lived in Ottawa, the first house we lived in was a semi-detached, and there were stairs from the main floor to the basement, and they went down six, a landing, and down six more. Our daughter, Vicky, was very little, but she did something that almost gave me a heart attack. She'd get down to that landing when I was at the base, and she'd say, "Dad," and she'd throw herself at me. Total trust that I would catch her. Total trust, committed. Her belief was that I wouldn't fail to catch her. Have you thrown yourself on God? Said, "Lord, I receive your gift of forgiveness, salvation, life eternal, relationship that starts now and goes on forever." Have you made that personal conviction, commitment to Jesus Christ? And then as he speaks to you specifically, are you attuned to his voice? Again, an example from our family. Vicky was a teen at the time, and I called home one day from work to talk to Barb about some particular plans, and I sort of rattled on, not realizing it wasn't Barb, it was Vicky. Their voices were so similar that even I was fooled. But are you attuned to God when he speaks and said, "That's him again. I've got to pay attention to this. I've got to listen"? Do you have a growing confidence in recognizing that voice? One of the things about Elijah hearing God's whisper, I'm sure he had to lean in and get close. But he was confident that he was listening to God's loving whisper. So how do we sum it all up? God speaking. Am I listening? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, when you call our name, teach us to respond with, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Help us to listen attentively, obediently to what you say to us. We ask this in Jesus' name and for your honor and glory. Amen.